This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
The New Yorker Radio Hour is supported by the Sympathizer podcast from HBO. From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr., The Sympathizer is the new HBO original limited series based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel of the same name. On the Sympathizer podcast, join host Philip Nguyen in conversation with the cast, crew, and author Viet Thanh Nguyen as they discuss the making of this historic series. Stream new episodes of HBO's The Sympathizer, Sundays exclusively on Max, and listen to The Sympathizer podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
Listener supported, WNYC Studios.
Sheldon Pierce is the music writer and editor of the New Yorker's Goings On About Town section. So this guy is so immersed in music that where other critics write up a year-end top 10 list, Sheldon writes a top 30. So the Grammy Awards are a little bit vexed for Sheldon. Are you particularly into the Grammys? Is it a big night for you?
It used to be. I think there has been too much getting it wrong over the last 10, 12, 15 years that it really doesn't mean that much to me anymore. I sort of understand how it works as this thing that is trying to get a certain number of viewers on a Sunday night, and not really this thing that is aligned with the critical discourse or even really popular interest.
Now, the idea here is we're going to go to three categories, and you're going to pluck one of the nominees out and get rid of it and put something new in that you think has been overlooked. Does that sound good to you?
Right. There's an outlier normally in every single category that just feels like it doesn't fit for some reason. And it's not that I agree with all the other picks. It's just that this feels wrong,
and
I'm sort of addressing, yes, adding this as a corrective, if you will.
All right, well then let's start with the best new artist category. Who are you excited about in this category, and who can you get rid of and replace him with?
Yeah, well, the artists that seem to make a lot of sense to me, Olivia Rodrigo, who obviously had just a meteoric rise from Disney Channel fame to like the pop culture sphere at large. Arlo Parks, this sort of funky singer-songwriter who has been buzzing a little bit over the past few years and really took off last year. And then Japanese Breakfast, who not only had a really great album released last year, but a really great best-selling memoir. But the one that really stood out to me as feeling weird was Phineas. People may know him as the producer slash brother of the pop phenom Billie Eilish. It feels like he is here strictly because he is Billie Eilish's brother. He released a project last year, didn't really seem to move the needle one way or the other. And the music wasn't even that interesting.
Do you think it's so the camera can pan to Billie Eilish in the audience?
100%. Okay.
So if that's the case, and we're getting rid of Phineas, Billie Eilish's brother, who are we replacing him with?
Yeah, I would replace Phineas with this poet, singer, songwriter, Mustafa, from Toronto. Drake endorsed. He has been an activist on the local Toronto scene for a long time. And last year, he released a really gorgeous album, When Smoke Rises, that he describes as inner city folk music. A lot of sort of soft guitars, but there's also light rap drums. And he sings sort of about the struggles of his community in this really intimate, sensitive way that sort of speaks to his poetry background.
Right. Not long ago, you wrote a piece for NewYorker.com about Mustafa's debut album, When Smoke Rises. And you said this, as Mustafa notes on Ali, words can't stop bullets, and as the limitations of his chosen medium set in, he is beset by some truly tormenting revelations. Let's listen to the song Ali.
Ali, you know our hearts are at their fullest. Ali, there were no words.
Tell us a little bit about what's going on here lyrically and in terms of his story.
Yeah, so Mustafa has been at the center of the Toronto music and poetry scenes since he was 12 years old. He has seen and experienced a lot of violence firsthand, and so his poetry has always reflected the environment that he grew up in. Sort of connecting with those that he sees on the day-to-day. Not sort of looking out to his city and saying, hey, here's what's going on inside the city, but connecting directly with his peers and being like, please, can we find some sort of resolution to this issue that is plaguing us?
You should have left your home. I told you to go. I told you it wouldn't be safe. I told you it wasn't the way. You should have left your home.
Now, Sheldon, the next category is a big one. It's Song of the Year. And there's a lot of heavy hitters out there. You've got Alicia Keys, Billie Eilish, Lil Nas X, to name a few. Which song do you think needs to be, you know, kind of trimmed or replaced for Song of the Year?
Yeah, the song that I would pull is Ed Sheeran's Bad Habits. It feels harsh to come at Ed this way. I don't even think this is necessarily the worst song. One thing I will say about the Grammys is generally they'll be like, if you were to pick out 10 songs and say these songs in some way tell the story of the year in music prior, I think that is a more accurate representation of what the Grammys do in modern times. But with that said, the Ed Sheeran song just doesn't feel like it fits into that landscape.
All right. Well, so Ed Sheeran is feeling some pain now. Who are you slipping in? In his place,
I'm replacing Ed Sheeran with Wizkid and Tems's Essence.
So great. What can you tell us about Wizkid, and why do you think the song Essence should have been nominated?
Yeah, Wizkid has sort of been at the forefront of the African pop movement, and bridging the gap between African pop and the pop music of America. And Essence was just such a massive breakthrough moment. Really resonated with American audiences in a way that African pop hadn't previously. Was a top 10 charted single. It just feels like a major omission to keep it off this list when it played such a critical role in the music of the last year.
All right, now, so for Album of the Year, our third category, who do you think will win Album of the Year and why? Who will win?
If I were to pick a winner, I would expect Olivia Rodrigo Sour to pull it out. Just such a zeitgeist moment in music, and most people sort of pointed to her as the next Taylor Swift, which is ironic that Taylor Swift is also nominated in this category.
So does that mean you're bumping her out of the list and you're going to come up with somebody new?
No, the person that I'm going to bump is her back of my mind. This is the third time she's been nominated for Album of the Year, with almost no cultural footprint to speak of.
Ouch.
And
ouch.
I'm going I wrote about the album. The album is perfect. The album is perfectly fine. I just don't think it's reflective of this Grammy mindset where it's like, here we are honoring the people in music that people know. It's like you've got Justin Bieber, you've got Doja Cat, you've got Billie Eilish, you've got Lil Nas X, you've got Taylor Swift, you've got Kanye West, and you've got her. One of those things is not like the others.
And I
would replace that album with Jasmine Sullivan's Hotels. Similar type artist, similar type album, far more ambitious, far more representative of the last year, really resonated with critics, resonated with listeners also in a way that back of my mind has not. And so it's like, if you have the opportunity.
But this is an especially cold move you're pulling here, because Jasmine Sullivan and her are musical collaborators.
Yes, her is featured on the Jasmine Sullivan album, in fact.
Ooh, ouch, ouch. So what do you want to hear from the album Hotels by Jasmine Sullivan? What song are you recommending here most?
Pick Up Your Feelings.
Let's listen.
You said that I've been acting different, yeah. Funny how I finally flipped the script on, yeah. When you the one who's double dipping, yeah. You so sloppy how I caught you slipping, you're off the lease, run me my keys. No more popping up the idiot, yeah. I ain't even got the miles to trip on, yeah. No phone.
Someone's been caught double dipping. It's an infidelity song.
Yeah. Yes. And that is actually reflective of a lot of this record. A lot of it is about perspectives of womanhood, dealing with cheating guys who aren't worth the time that women are putting into them.
There's a new theme.
who aren't holding up their end of the bargain. But at every point, she's sort of looking to friends and other artists for their specific perspectives on this tried and true topic. And she really ends up getting this panoramic view of an old hat theme. Don't leave no
pieces. Thanks so much, Sheldon.
Thank you too, David.
But you had your fun, but I had enough. Now I'm really done. I deserve so much more than you gave to me. So now I'm saving me, and I made my peace. So you can run them streets, but don't forget to come and pick up your feelings. Don't leave no pieces. You need to.
The New Yorker's Sheldon Pierce. We heard music from Mustafa off his album When Smoke Rises, Essence by WizKid featuring Thames, Jasmine Sullivan's Pick Up Your Feelings off the album Hotels. And you can read Sheldon Pierce on pop and rap and rock and jazz and more at NewYorker.com. He always brings new insights to artists you know, and he'll introduce you to a whole lot of artists you don't.